First, the United States Postal Service is unveiling some proposed rate hikes to address falling revenues. For starters, the cost of forever stamps would go up from 50 cents to 55 cents. The Postal Service is also planning to charge more for the package delivery program used by large shippers. The proposals came just a couple days after postal union members rallied across the country against the Trump administration's call to privatize the service. With more email and less physical mail, the USPS has been making less and less money. A new audit also shows that it'll run out of money to pay for its retirees' health care in 12 years. The service currently has a net deficit of $58.7 billion. Rick Geddes is a professor of policy analysis and management at Cornell University and director of the Cornell Program in Infrastructure Policy. He's also a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, where he focuses on public-private infrastructure partnerships, the postal system, and postal delivery policy. Rick, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's great to be on, Rob.
Well, give us a basic picture of the fiscal situation the post office finds itself in now.
Well, they're really in a tough spot, Rob, because for many years, actually decades, the volume and the composition of letter mail has changed quite a bit. So the real cash cow for the Postal Service has been first-class mail, which most people think of as cards and letters that you put a first-class stamp on and put it in the mailbox. And, you know, just like you said in the introduction, people are using more email, they're texting, they're using phones, they used to use faxes more. And what that's done is cut into the volume of first-class mail mainly, which actually peaked out back in 2001 and has fallen by over about more than 36% now. And the mail has gone more towards what we call standard mail or advertising mail, which as people know is catalogs and circulars and things like that, bills that are advertising. But the Postal Service doesn't make as much money off of each piece of standard mail as it does off first class. And then, of course, just like you suggested, Rob, Amazon and parcel shipping of packages, has become a more important part of the Postal Service's business. But it's not making much off of that either. You know, and at the same time, it has to deliver mail 6 days a week, including Saturdays, to virtually every address in the United States, which is called its universal service obligation. So its costs, you know, remain kind of high, Rob, at the same time that its revenues and profits are declining.
Let's talk about that parcel service. Amazon, we know, ships a lot of stuff. A lot of it goes through the U.S. Postal Service. As I understand it, and I got to say I don't completely, it's kind of a black box. There's a negotiation between Amazon and the post office for how much Amazon is going to pay. It's not entirely clear what that rate is.
Right, that's right, Rob. Part of the issue here that researchers such as myself and other policy analysis people have had is sort of the lack of transparency regarding data and just whether the sort of the quality of the accounts that the Postal Service keeps. And as your comment indicates, Rob, it's, you know, there are sort of these closed-door kind of agreements with large companies. FedEx is another one where, you know, they have this agreement with Federal Express where the Postal Service will deliver FedEx packets, what they call the last mile, you know, to the doorstep. And in return, FedEx uses its large fleet of overnight aircraft to deliver mail for the U.S. Postal Service. But exactly what the details of those arrangements are remains a bit opaque. But I think in general, Rob, there's a sense that the Postal Service has been undercharging in the parcel post business, and that, in fact, you know, as your intro suggested, increasing rates in the parcel post business might be appropriate, which I think the Postal Service is now suggesting.
There's one weird fundamental thing about the post office. It has this mission. I think even it's in the Constitution that we have to have something like this, but it has this mission to deliver, as you say, to every address in America for a certain number of days, but it's supposed to be revenue neutral, so which isn't the case for most government agencies. The Department of Defense doesn't have to be self-sustaining. Why is that fundamental conflict part of the problem here?
Yeah, so there's a lot packed into what you said, Rob.
Yeah,
and you know, it's in the Constitution, and Congress shall have the power, you know, .. to establish post offices and post roads. And people, you know, in the East here are familiar with the Boston Post Road. And, you know, that all comes out of the early days. In fact, the post office predates the United States because back in those days, the way you quickly delivered a message was by horse post, where you had a very fast rider and a fast horse that would go from one post to the other, you know, handing off the bag of mail to the next delivery person. And that was critical for national security at the time of the revolution. And then there really was a sense, Rob, that the post office was binding the nation together. But what that really meant was newspaper delivery. Basically, from the east to the city, you know, towns on the frontier could get newspapers that gave readers a sense of what was going on in the country more broadly. But you're referring there, Rob, also to what's called the 1970 Postal Reorganization Act. And the 1970 Act really created the modern U.S. Postal Service out of the shell of the old post office. And, you know, the post office was like a line item in, you know, cabinet-level position, like the Department of Defense or Department of State that received a subsidy. And the 1970 Act said, well, we can't continue this way. It's very inefficient. We're going to treat it like a utility, basically, where the rates are going to be set by a regulator. It's still going to retain its monopoly over delivery of letters, but it has to break even. And that's kind of what we're living with today, Rob, except for a modification that was in a 2005 Act. So it really is kind of a mixture of history of the United States, but also of more modern laws.
Talking to Rick Geddes from Cornell University, looking at the United States Postal Service, plans to increase rates, proposal, I should say, to increase rates, and the Trump administration saying, hey, maybe it's time we should privatize the U.S. Postal Service. Let's get into that, Rick. What would privatization look like for the Postal Service?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Rob, and I think we need to take a step back because in my experience, the word privatization is actually overused, and I think it's misused in some cases. The word privatize means to actually sell ownership stakes in the U.S. Postal Service, which is currently a state-owned enterprise, you know, to private investors. And some countries around the world have done this. Royal Mail recently did this in the U.K. The German Post privatized a long time ago. Large part of that was purchased up by DHL, so it's, you know, it's really an agglomeration of DHL and the Deutsche Post in Germany. So that's one way to go. But what I think a lot of people miss is actually what you suggested in your introduction, which is the U.S. Postal Service has billions of dollars of unfunded liabilities on its balance sheet, and of course you would have to do a real careful accounting assessment to figure out exactly what that is. But there's no investor who is going to want to buy shares or an ownership stake in the U.S. Postal Service unless the taxpayer picks up those unfunded liabilities, because the net value of the Postal Service is negative at this point. And in fact, in Germany, when they privatized Deutsche Post, there was a big hit that the German taxpayers took in order to be able to sell Deutsche Post. So what I've suggested, Rob, and a lot of others, is take steps to improve the efficiency of the U.S. Postal Service, but, you know, it's not quite ready in shape to be privatized. And that includes what's called commercialization, which deregulates it. So you reduce or eliminate those monopolies. It actually has two monopolies over the use of your mailbox and over the delivery of anything called a letter. But on the other side, you allow it to offer more commercial freedom. So new products at the rates that they choose, with more flexibility in service standards. And at the same time, you maybe cut down that USO from saying, you know, I think a lot of people agree we don't need mail delivery 6 days per week. Maybe we should set a minimum of, say, 3 days per week, but the Postal Service could deliver more than that. So you basically would recognize what I think has already happened in the real world, Rob, is that the Postal Service has become a fundamentally commercial service, and let's get the laws and regulations to catch up with that reality.
Talking to Rick Geddes, professor of policy analysis and management at Cornell University, director of the Cornell Program in Infrastructure Policy, and visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. We're talking about the Postal Service's proposed price hikes on forever stamps, package delivery, and more in the face of falling revenues. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What changes do you think the Postal Services should make, if any? Do you mind paying more for forever stamps if that happens? Would you like to see some form of privatization of the Postal Service? What would you think about less than 6 days a week delivery? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the United States Postal Service, possible rate increases, financial challenges facing the agency. Rick Geddes is with us from Cornell University, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Would you be okay with paying another nickel for the forever stamp? Do you think that big changes need to come for the United States Postal Service? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls. Ann is on the line in Monona. Ann, hello. Ann, are you there? No, we don't have Ann. Let's go to Kim in Waupun. Kim, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I have no issues paying more for stamps or any services that the United States Postal Service offers. I love my Postal Service. If I wanted to privatize, I'd take my items to FedEx and UPS because I believe that's what they can do. So as far as maybe cutting down a day or two of delivery, I wouldn't have an issue with that either. But I do not want it to be sold off like a commodity where it's about the shareholders.
Kim, thanks a lot for calling. Rick, I want to start with her first point. She'd be fine, she says, with paying a little more for that forever stamp. Does a rate increase like that on our first-class mail, on some of those package services, does it put a dent into the problems the Postal Service is facing?
So great question there, Rob. So let me get to Kim's point. First of all, she said that she's happy with the Postal Service, and she doesn't mind, you know, paying another nickel on a first-class stamp. And it should be noted that, you know, if you sort of measure the prices or the rates for first-class letter mail around the country, that the U.S. Postal Service is actually a bargain. In other words, it's a pretty low price compared to, say, mailing a letter in Germany or France or other places like that. So you know, the Postal Service, I think, given the constraints that it faces and that Congress really tells the Postal Service that it has to deliver to every address 6 days a week, that universal service obligation is really a creation of Congress, that, you know, the Postal Service is doing a pretty good job. But the issue, the other issue that you raise and that Kim indicated is, you know, if we raise it by 55 cents, that's, you know, 10% nominal increase. I think there's a lot of given the changing composition of the mail, that a lot of it is advertising now, and advertisers really are more sensitive to prices, right, to rates, than individual mailers are. We call that the elasticity of demand, you know, in economics classes. And so the demand has become more elastic, meaning sensitive to price. So the question is, are they going to really make more revenues by increasing the price of a first-class stamp? Or in the long term, are people going to substitute into alternative ways of advertising? So I think what could happen, Rob, is in the short term, the U.S. Postal Service could see some revenue increases. But in the long term, you know, those standard mail advertisers and the other businesses, really commercial entities, if you look at your mail flow, what shows up in your mailbox, a lot of it is commercial. I think they're going to be more sensitive to the rates. So it could be harmful in the long run.
We heard on our Facebook page from Nick. Nick says, privatization makes sense. The government can't compete with FedEx, UPS, or Amazon. It's a money pit that continues to cost the taxpayers money. Don't let it fool you. You will still get your mail. Nick, thanks for your note. A lot of people bringing up points on the Facebook page. Rick, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's based on the experience in other countries. What you can do is go in more of a private direction, which is what I suggested earlier in the segment, which includes commercializing it, right? And that gives it more commercial freedom. And this is what, you know, they've done in Australia and New Zealand, many countries around the world. Allow it to offer some more products at, you know, flexible rates. But get rid of those monopolies, right? And the other and the other thing you can do is to corporatize it. Now, these all sort of stop short of privatization, but corporatizing is kind of the way that Amtrak and the Postal Service are actually structured in different ways, where Amtrak is subject to private corporate law, and you could do the same thing with the USPS, U.S. Postal Service. And these things are kind of trying to move it in the direction of becoming more efficient. And I think Kim suggested that she would not be not be upset if they were to cut back the minimum number of delivery days to, say, 3 days per week. So all these things would allow it to be more efficient. But again, the problem with privatizing, Rob, are those unfunded liabilities that you mentioned. And does Congress want to take this hit on the taxpayer balance sheet for those unfunded liabilities of the Postal Service?
Talking to Rick Geddes from Cornell University, looking at the U.S. Postal Service, past, present, and future, possible rate increases on the horizon, talk of some form of privatization out there as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Rick, you've mentioned unfunded liabilities. Now, some people have said, okay, the Postal Service is required to pre-fund, hopefully I get this right, pre-fund retirement health benefits for employees. Unlike most other institutions, they say that's an unfair burden on the Postal Service. What's the deal with that?
Well, Rob, I think this gets back to sort of how you view the U.S. Postal Service. So one thing that should be noted, though, about that, Rob, that you often don't hear is that that's referring to this act, I think it was 2005, called the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act. And that act, we don't have time to go into the gory details, on the show, but it did a number of things about the accounting of the U.S. Postal Service to kind of treat it a little bit more like a regular regulated utility, in my view. So there were things that the Postal Service was required to do that increased its liabilities, right? Like, the retiree health, pre-funding the retiree health care. There were also other things that reduced its liabilities in the 2005 Act, so that the net effect was actually about $500 million a year. But I think the more fundamental issue here, Rob, is how do we view the Postal Service? Do we view it as a cabinet-level department like the Department of Defense or Department of State like it was back before 1970? Or should we think about it really the way most countries, all 27 European members of the European Union, think about their post offices this way, is as a fundamentally commercial organization, that should cover its liabilities, like any Fortune 500 company. And so I think that's kind of what the 2005 Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act had envisioned. But, people have to decide for themselves.
Let's go to another caller now. Gail is with us in Fish Creek. Gail, hi.
Hi. I'm always leery of the word privatization. That has been a horror situation in other countries around the world. It just ruins the government. It creates more elitist 1% profit while it takes money through taxes through all of the regular people of the citizenry of the countries. And I'm afraid that's what might be happening here. With the fact that I also read a report that the government actually pulled the triple digits out of the budget and pockets that money somewhere else, out of the Postal Service, that I'm concerned about, too, that I've read.
Gail, I'm going to jump in because you gave us a lot and there's not too much time left. First, her second point, Rick, Gail's point, she says she's heard basically that the Postal Service has raided their budget for other parts of the budget. Anything to that?
Well, that the Postal Service is raiding other parts of
is being raided for the benefit of others. Yeah.
Well, I think that it's kind of what I was indicating before, Rob, in the sense that there's these unfunded liabilities that are really, let's face it, they're liabilities of the U.S. taxpayer. Just like, retiree health care costs and pension costs for somebody in the military is a liability of the U.S. taxpayer. The same is true for postal workers, right? But Gail is right in the sense that they're sort of placed on the balance sheet of the U.S. Postal Service kind of over off to the side, and people think, oh, that's, not my liability as a U.S. taxpayer. But that's really false. They are part of the, U.S. Treasury's liabilities, net liabilities, and they should be viewed as such. But I want to, if I could, Rob, deal with what Gail said first.
Sure, yeah.
Which is whether, you know, she sort of thinks that privatization is that, you know, could lead to this corruption within the government. And around the world, I think there's a number of cases where that's been true. So I think when you privatize, you know, if we decide to go down that road, we do have to be careful. It's possible to do privatization right, and it's possible to do it poorly. But like in Germany for the Deutsche Post, the Royal Mail, I think those are examples of where it's done and it's been in the public interest.
Thanks for that call, Gail. In our last minute, Rick, as a producer here, I've been booking shows on price increases and possible privatization of the post office for at least 20 years. Is anything really going to change anytime soon?
Well, I think it almost has to, Rob, because the economics of it is just going to force change. In other words, we're going to continue to see the volume of mail decline, the composition of the mail to become more commercialized, more advertising matter, while the costs of the U.S. Postal Service to maintain this big delivery network, right, to deliver to all addresses 6 days per week, is going to remain high and fixed. So your revenues are declining, your costs are staying high. Something's got to give, right? So you know, I've predicted this for a long time. I think the internet and internet shopping has really kept the Postal Service afloat for longer than a lot of people, including myself, thought it would, but I think at some point they're going to hit the wall, Rob.
We'll leave it there. Rick, thanks for joining us. We've been talking to Rick Geddes, Professor of Policy Analysis and Management at Cornell University and Director of the Cornell Program in Infrastructure Policy. He's also a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. We talked to him about the U.S. Postal Service request to raise the cost of forever stamps by a nickel and the Trump administration's calls to privatize the service. Still time for you to weigh in with your thoughts. A lot of people commenting on this over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Head over there and tell us what you think.